You can just stand here. It's okay, you can stand here so people can see it. Try it again. Can you reach here? Try here.
Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength.
This is the word of the Lord.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good job, Katie. So it's so wonderful to have Joanna's children's time teaching children about loving the enemies. And Katie, thank you for reading scripture passage for us this morning. And I also thought I'd do something a little bit different during my sermon. Hopefully you received in the inserts the personal evangelism listening Mad Libs. Did everyone receive that sheet? If not, we have some in the back, and maybe one of our ushers can grab extras. Let's see. Raise your hand if you need the sheet. So probably the young adult Sunday school class. Jonathan, do you mind grabbing, or Marilyn? I think they have extra sheets on the white stand in the back. Outside in the narthex on the white stand, do we have extra folded sheets? Yeah. And then maybe grab a couple more so everyone has one. So Jonathan has extras, so raise your hand if you need one. It'd be good for everyone to have their own copy. Okay. So do you know what Mad Libs are? It's one of those fun things that you did, more probably as a child, where you put a person, place, or noun, or verb. On the top, you see number one, city you live in. So everywhere you see a number one in the story, put the city you live in. Number two is your name. So everywhere you see a number two, put your name. I'm going to actually skip to number four. Name of a person who you think or you've been thinking about evangelizing to. It's that friend or that neighbor, that coworker or that classmate or even family member that I've encouraged you to think about these past weeks. So everywhere you see a number four, put in that person's name. And then number three is the setting of where you are usually with that person. If it's a coworker, put the place of your work. If it's a family member, maybe home or their home or your home or grandma or great aunt's home, somewhere's home. If it's a neighbor, you could just put the street name you live on. If it's a student, you co-classmate, you can put the school that you attend to. Or just a friend where you often encounter that friend, whether it's a weekly dinner or a monthly gathering or even through Facebook. That is a setting as well where you can reach out to that person that you want to evangelize to. So that is number three. Everywhere you see number three, you would put that place. So hopefully you've been able to fill in the city you live in for everywhere you see number one, your name for everywhere you see number two, the setting of where you encounter the person where you evangelize to, everywhere you see number three, and the name of the person that you've been thinking about evangelizing to. And it's okay if you right now don't have a person or a setting yet. It still kind of works when we'll read the Mad Lib story later at the end of the sermon. So put that aside or continue to work on it if you need to, but let us pray first. Loving and amazing God, we come before you in fellowship, connecting to one another in this place of worship. And Lord, we ask that these words that are spoken speak your will and your truth be shown through the scriptures. And Lord, we ask that our reflections and our thoughts and the way that we hear your word be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer, now and forever. Amen. So they say that human beings need basically three things to survive. The first thing is sustenance. It's that food that your body needs, the water that your body needs to drink, and the food, that protein, the things that give you energy, the sustenance that you need that feeds your body. The second thing that all basic humans need is shelter. We need a place to be, a place to live in, a place to lay our head down at night, a place to eat, a place to do the normal daily things that we do in life. We need shelter, a place to belong. The third thing they say that all human beings need is connection. We all need a connection to one another. They say that babies, when babies are born, they grow 50% more or more healthy when they have human connection. The mother's holding them, the father's playing with them, the aunties and uncles kissing their cheeks. That human connection even helps babies grow more healthy when they are first born. And we as adults still need that human connection. Whether it's a conversation with someone that is listening to us, whether it's a hug from someone when we are sad or depressed, or whether it's just a simple pat on the back or words of encouragement when we are struggling with something at work or in personal life. We need connection to one another. These three basic needs that all humans need to survive, sustenance, shelter, and connection, are also part of the Christian spiritual needs that we all need as Christians to survive. We need sustenance. Our sustenance is the Word of God, the scripture passages that we have in the Bible, the words of forgiveness we receive through Jesus Christ, the values and beliefs we hold as Christians. This is our sustenance that not just feeds our bodies, but feeds our souls. We also need shelter, a place to belong, a place to do the daily things, a place to grow in faith, and church can be your shelter, and home can be your shelter when you are with other Christians. And that leads to connection. We as Christians all need connection, fellowship with one another. We also need to hold each other accountable in our connection with each other. When we see a brother or sister struggling with their faith, we can be the shoulder they can lean on. We can support them as they are learning more spiritual disciplines. We can tell them that their journey on their pathway to God is like our journey. We are connected to each other. We as Christians need these things to survive spiritually: sustenance, shelter, and connection. And this morning, as we continue to talk about personal evangelism, and again, reminders on the back of your worship bulletin, the different steps, I want us to look specifically at number 2, listening to the spiritual needs of friends. Listening to the spiritual needs of friends involves knowing what their spiritual needs are. Do they need sustenance? Do they need shelter? Do they need connection? Do they need one, two, or all three of these things? It is up to us when we want to evangelize to someone, to do personal evangelism, one-on-one ministry with another person, to listen to their needs, to not let our own needs cloud what we are hearing from them, but to truly listen to their needs. We know in last week's passage that Saul, who later becomes Paul, was struggling with himself, with his own spiritual needs. He was lacking of sustenance, he was lacking of shelter, he was lacking of connection. He was doing evil things. I love how Joanna had the children talk about the opposite of love, which is hate, and the opposite of good, which is bad. And Saul, we could say, was falling into all those opposites. He was experiencing hate. He had many enemies. He was experiencing his own self-doubt. He was called in a wrong direction, listening to the devil and doing evil things instead. So Paul had what we would call a spiritual blindness. If you remember in last week's passage, he was breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord. It says that he even went to the leaders of the synagogues and asked for permission to go and hunt down people in their own homes. But we know that he had a miracle happen. On this road to Damascus, Saul encountered a bright light from heaven that flashed before him, and a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And the reply came, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But get up and go into the city, and you will be told what to do." Saul, they say, did get up from the ground, and even though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. He was experiencing a spiritual blindness. He needed those spiritual things. He could see nothing, and the soldiers that with him led him in Damascus. But for 3 days without sight, they say that he neither ate nor drank. For 3 days, his body did not have food or drink. For 3 days, his body was suffering. And we know as well his spiritual self, his soul, was suffering as well. But the Lord does not let a person suffer alone. The Lord does not let a person go down a deep, dark path without offering hope, without reaching out a hand, without giving the person what they need, that sustenance, that shelter, that connection. And the Lord did this for Saul through Ananias. And Ananias, in this morning's scripture passage, he does what is right in the very beginning. We hear these words that it says, "Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he answered, Ananias answered, 'Here I am, Lord.'" He answered correctly when the Lord called him. He was listening when God calls on him. That is the first part of being able to listen to the spiritual needs of others. You must first listen when the Lord calls you. And Ananias answers, "Here I am, Lord. It is the right thing to say. Our scriptures are full of wonderful disciples and people of faith saying, 'Here I am, Lord.'" Isaiah 6:8, it says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send?' And I replied, 'Here I am.'" 1 Samuel 3:4, Samuel is called by the Lord, and Samuel answers, "Here I am." And Mary, the human mother of Jesus, in Luke 1:38, as she is sitting, she hears the voice of the Lord calling her, and Mary answers, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord." So Ananias is following this wonderful long tradition of people who believe in the Lord and love the Lord by answering the Lord when the Lord calls, saying, "Here I am." That is the first part. If we say we want to personally evangelize to someone, we ourselves must listen to when the Lord calls. So then we are able to listen to our person's spiritual needs. And then the Lord says to Ananias that he must get up and go to a street called Straight and look there for a man named Saul. And at this moment, this man named Saul is praying because he has seen a vision that a man named Ananias will come and lay his hands on him so he may regain his sight. Ananias needed to listen to the directions that God gave him. God was giving him very, very clear, detailed directions. He was saying the street that he would go to. He was saying the house that he would go to. He was saying the person that he would go to and what he would do to that person. To the street, the straight, the house of Judas, a man named Tarsus, and there was Saul. And then he would lay his hands on Saul because Saul had been praying. God was giving very clear directions. And when we listen to God and answer, "Here I am," we will hear God's very clear directions. We have the most clear directions from our Lord Jesus Christ, who says in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." How much clearer can we get to go and make disciples? I'm often asked as a minister, "What do you want your church members to do?" I want them to go and make disciples. That's the easiest, most clear, direct directions you will ever hear. To go and make disciples, to listen to God's call for you, to be able to hear the clear directions that God is giving to you, and then to continue to go on to listen to the needs of that person who God needs you to reach out to. But we are human. We sometimes doubt our own skills. We sometimes doubt the person that we need to evangelize to. We let some things come in the way, temptations and evil, and we let all these things become obstructions or things that block us from reaching the goal. And Ananias himself thought about those things. He said to the Lord, "Lord, I've heard many things about this man Saul, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." Ananias was judging Saul. He wasn't listening to God. He was judging. You can't listen and judge at the same time. Now, I know when sometimes people talk to you, and I do this, I'll admit, often, as they're talking to me, I'm already thinking of what I'm going to say back to them. Does that make sense? One of my very best friends, I love her from high school, always has had personal problems with men. So she would say, "Oh, I went out on the date," and I'm already thinking in my head, "Oh, I should be comforting." Or and then she'd say, "Oh, and the guy was this, or the guy did that, or the guy didn't do this right." She's very picky. But and I would already be thinking of answers to give her instead of really listening to what was happening on that date. I was judging in a way, and I couldn't judge and listen at the same time. It is truly hard to do that. We must stop judging, to not be like Ananias and judge Saul based on his past and all the things he knew that Saul had done. But we must listen instead. And when we listen, we can hear the word of the Lord. To remember Christ's commission, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, to go and make disciples of all nations. It says all nations. No matter what scripture version you read, NRSB, NIV, NIC, NEB, the Message, all those different versions, that word all is in all those passages. Because it's important to know all nations. It does not matter your race, your gender, your age, your income. We are called to make disciples of all nations, regardless of the person's history or past or who they are. And when we can listen and do that, then we know that the Lord God is calling us sometimes to do something that is hard. The Lord even says to Ananias in this morning's passage, "Go, go, for he is an instrument who I have chosen to bring the name before the Gentiles and kings, before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my own name." This is such a hard task for Ananias to imagine, to go to Saul, the person who had been persecuting Christians, to go to Saul to make him an instrument to tell about the Christians, the Gentiles, the kings, about the wonderful thing of Israel and God. That is impossible. It'd be like saying, I don't want to get into politics, like Donald Trump, going and saying to Donald Trump, "We know on your campaign you made all these promises, the promise to build the wall, the promise to change and reform education, the promise to grow stronger in relations with Russia and other countries," but then expecting Trump to do the exact opposite, to evangelize him, to tell him not to build a wall, to tell him to not hurt relations with other countries, and to tell him to reform education, yes, but in a way that does not hurt the children in the schools. It is asking someone to do the exact opposite of who and what they were, or even asking me as a minister to go and rob a bank. It'd be an impossible task in a way, right? So Ananias needs to listen that God is telling him to do, yes, a hard thing, but it is a thing that must be done because God has chosen that person. And as I have asked you to think about a person to evangelize to, a friend, a coworker, a family member, a neighbor, that person, yes, might be a hard task to do, but God wants us to do that, to do the impossible, just as he was asking Ananias to reach out to Saul to do the impossible. And then Ananias, he does that. He finally has listened to God. He finally has listened to the directions, and he's finally understood and listened to that he has to do something that is hard. But because he is able to do that, then he is able to be a person of personal evangelism to Saul, to also listen to Saul's needs and understand Saul as well. So we know at the end of this morning's passage that Ananias does go and he does enter the house, and he does lay his hands on Saul, and he says these wonderful words, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on your way here has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on your way here has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ananias is listening to Saul's needs, and he's trying to fulfill those needs. His spiritual needs of shelter, his spiritual needs of sustenance, his spiritual needs of connection. Even calling him Brother Saul, this person who he was probably afraid of. I'm sure Ananias was fearing of Saul because he had heard Saul going into homes and dragging out men and women who were worshiping God and bringing them to prison and having them put on trial, and even some of the persons dying for their faith. But Ananias calls Saul brother. He is establishing that spiritual need of connection that all Christians need. He's saying, "You are my brother, Brother Saul." And then he goes on to give him sustenance to tell him that the Lord Jesus appeared to him on his way here and that the Lord sent him to be with him to regain so that he can regain his sight. He is giving him sustenance. He's giving him the Lord, saying, "The Lord has appeared to you on the road to Damascus. The Lord is here also to repair your sight. The Lord will do many wonderful things in your life." He is giving him sustenance, something to believe in, something to hold on to, something to feed his soul, to feed him spiritually. And he is providing this most wonderful gift of shelter, saying that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit gives us shelter. The Holy Spirit surrounds us with God's love and provides a place for us to be with each other. And immediately after Saul hears these words, it says that the scales, they fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. He got up and he was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. So his body needed that food that he had not eaten for 3 days, but he regained his strength. But we also want to say he regained his spiritual strength. He was baptized in the name of the Lord, and Ananias had helped make that happen. He had fulfilled the spiritual needs of that friend, of that person. We ourselves are called to listen to the spiritual needs of that friend, that family member, that coworker, that person that we know we want to evangelize to. And you might think, well, that's just another hard thing for me to do, or I'm not sure how to do it. But it's simple. Think about yourself in the place of Ananias in the scripture passage. That's why I thought it'd be fun for us to do the Mad Lib story. So now look at the story if you have a chance, and we'll have some extra sheets if you didn't have your own that you want after worship. So for me, I put the person that I want to evangelize to is a woman named Colleen. And Colleen was the caregiver for my friend Shannon. If you know, in the past I've shared that in November, my friend Shannon, at the age of 39, passed away from brain cancer. But one of her caregivers that she had Monday to Friday, 8 hours a day, was a nurse named Colleen. And Colleen didn't believe in the Lord. She struggled with faith. She grew up in a church, but then was rejected, she felt, by the church when she was a young adult. Her grandmother would always call her a sinner. She didn't have a good relationship with her family. She joined the army and lived in different places and never really settled down. So Colleen was struggling with not just her faith, but with her life as well. And she was a person who I wanted to reach out to. So for me, I put Colleen's name in. I'm still trying to reach out to her, even though she's no longer my friend Shannon's caregiver. But we still keep in touch because Shannon was always our connection. Hopefully you put in someone's name, a city you lived in, the person, the setting, and your own name. So let's just read it, and I'll read mine, but you could, of course, as you're looking at your sheet, we'll have your name. So now there was a disciple in Los Angeles, and maybe you read the underlined words, you say the underlined words out loud. So we'll try the first sentence. Now there was a disciple in Los Angeles named Eva. Okay, so you got it? Let's try that together, but you're reading your own story as I'm also reading my story. Now there was a disciple in Los Angeles named Eva. The Lord said to him or her in a vision, "Eva." He or she answered, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him or her, "Get up and go to..." Oh, I need to hear places. Couple of places. I put Shannon's home for mine. and look for Colleen. At this moment, he or she is praying and has seen in a vision a person's name, Eva, who will come and lay hands on him or her so that she might regain his or her sight. But Eva answered, Lord, I know about this person, how much evil he, she has been done. But the Lord said to him or her, Go, for he or she is an instrument who I've chosen to bring my name before the people of Los Angeles. So Eva went and entered the house. Eva laid his hands on Colleen and said, Brother, sister, Colleen, the Lord Jesus has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his or her eyes, and his or her sight was restored. Then Colleen got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, Colleen regained his or her strength. Now I know the reality is our friends or our coworker or our neighbor or our loved one doesn't have blinding scales on their eyes. And I know it doesn't happen so miraculously, an overnight thing where you appear at their home or their place of work or knock on your neighbor's door and lay your hands on them. But this is just an idea that we are called by God to listen to God's call for us, to listen to the directions, to listen to the person who we need to evangelize to, and to be part of their lives. This was just kind of a fun way to imagine yourself being in ministry with a person, listening to them, and following God's call for you yourself. We want to continue to look at personal evangelism, how we can reach out to that person, that coworker, that classmate, that acquaintance, that neighbor, even that family member who needs to have God in their life to understand how great and wonderful it is that when you surrender your life to God, you receive eternal life, forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, and it all can be done when you are in connection with another person, when you have sustenance and are fed spiritually, and when you have shelter, a place to belong, as we all belong in church. We want to continue to look at personal evangelism to know that we are actively telling about the activity of God in our life, to listen to the spiritual needs of our friends. Next week we'll talk about regularly praying for our friends, and then also the ways we can share the gospel with these persons, and finally to lead these people to surrender their life to God. We are called to do that. We listen to God's call for us, and we in return listen to the needs of our loved ones, our friends, persons who we know we want to be in personal connection with and evangelize to. Let us pray. Lord, we hear your call.